many things that held us down. But now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go. And where we'll end up, I don't know. But we'll let nothing hold us back. We're putting ourselves together. We're polishing up our act. And if you fell apart and been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore.
Excellent, excellent. Well, you know what you'll do.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
And if you're trying to make it, they only push you aside. They really don't have nowhere to go. Ask them where they're going, they don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're gonna put our shirts together. Gonna polish up our act. And if you've never been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down.
Well, let's move. Good evening, everyone. This is Khalif, your host for the Royal Priesthood Bible Fellowship and Prayer Line this evening. Greetings to everyone, and welcome to the room. We have an excellent show set up for you tonight, and discussions and sessions and news, and we have some principles, hopefully, that you can walk away tonight from this room better than you were before you came, is our desire. So we're thankful for our co-host, the great Dr. Asar Hapi, and his beautiful wife, Nature. And we're thankful for Aladia Hanan Yehude Bay as our co-host as well. So tonight we're going to move right into our discussions tonight and our sessions. Dr. Asar, is he on the line with us?
Yes, he is.
My brother, good evening to you. Greetings, Hotel.
Good evening, Khalif. Good evening, Khalif.
My elder brother, it's such a good privilege to hear your voice. And how are you on this evening?
I'm wonderful. How are you and my sister?
Well, we're doing okay in a way. Her father passed a few days ago, and so we're on our way, perhaps close to you. Well, we're going to Detroit for a memorial service for her father, passed away a few days ago. But all things considered, we are well, and thank you for asking. So I want you to go ahead, and as we are partnering, you know what to do. You can take this take this show and take these lessons tonight and move forward. It is my utmost privilege and pleasure to present to you again my elder brother, Dr. Asar Hapi.
Thank you. Good evening, Delilah. How are you?
I'm great. How about you?
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you all for allowing us to be on this evening and to share with the audience the importance that we have to share with the development that all of us need to be focused on, as well as the development that all of us need to be enrolled in. And that development is the development of the temple. In the Priest Nation, our focus is that all of us have this grand opportunity to develop our potential, and that potential is that the body itself is seen as a temple. It's a sanctuary for the spirit to develop itself in this journey that we all reside on in time. And so this particular journey gives us the opportunity to develop ourselves to the higher level, and in the higher level we have the development of the pineal gland. And this development is a dimensional development in that the pineal gland is beyond just an organ. It is a eye. And the ancients see it as the third eye. As an eye, it has a electrical and it has a neurological. It has a neurological function. That neurological function is to open us into immortality. It also has a neurological function to allow us to be able to create certain hormones that allow us to improve ourselves so that as we go through time, we rest, we restore ourselves, we recharge ourselves, and it allows us to then be more vital as we move on in this journey. So this vitality that we're supposed to have, we find that most people start to diminish in this vitality, and that these hormones that are supposed to be released by the pineal gland through our rest, as well as through our meditation, that these hormones, they start to decline in their release and in their process of being developed to be released, to be utilized for us to have the sense of well-being, as well as to rest well, as well as to regenerate, as well as to open this eye so that our greater understanding and our greater development of the spirit then has the opportunity to move us into the understanding of life and death. And in that understanding, we're supposed to be able to merge that process of life and death, in which in the last day of life, in the last hour, in the last minute, and in the last second of life, when it is time to be able to transcend to the next plane in our ascension, that in that next plane, we're supposed to be able to cease from the physical temple and to move into the immortal temple of the spirit itself, in which now we become a part of the cosmic mind without the need of the physical body or the physical temple, in which we can now realize our awareness of the spirit in this plane without needing the physical temple. It would be like if we took a spaceship and we needed a spaceship to go to outer space to break through the barrier of the stratosphere, that the spaceship would be the outer vehicle to get us to break through that barrier so we could get to outer space. So this is what this body is. This body is a vehicle for us to transcend or to ascend to the outer space, that outer space being this cosmic universe in which we reside in, that if you were to close your eyes and you were to meditate, and in the deepest of your meditation, you would not realize the body. You would be in this sense of connection to the cosmic universe, and that in your meditation, that your awareness of this cosmic reality without the body is where what we call super consciousness. In this super consciousness is what our journey is supposed to be about. So that when that last breath comes and the Kundalini comes upon us and it pierces through the two eyes, those of us who have ascended in this journey and who have aspire to complete this journey, we will be at that point that when the Kundalini comes through in that last moment of life, we will be able to say, I am that I am, and that I am not this body, I am spirit, and that I am not temporal, but I am immortal. And in that moment of time, we have now stepped into immortality, so that we don't need any more physicals, don't need any more temples, do not need any more reincarnations, do not need any more journeys to have finally succeeded in what our journey was about. So when we look at life and we say, well, what did you do in life? And someone might say, I was a carpenter. And someone else might say, I was a school teacher. Somebody else might say, I owned a company. Someone else might say, I was a plumber. Somebody else might say, I had a business. Well, after all of that, when the person retires from that, or even before retiring, the quest is, am I vital enough? Am I vital enough, and have I done my work in which my development have taken me to the point that in my work of this journey, I have done the work so that my development has moved me to this point of superconsciousness, so that when it is time to leave this moment in time, that we break out of this shell, this body, this temple, and we ascend to this higher plane, that we have succeeded in the journey. So we say, in order to do that, we must be vital. You cannot move to the higher realms if you don't stay vital, because if your temple is broke down, if your body is sick, you can't focus the mind. If the body is in pain, you can't focus the mind. And then if the body is in pain and now you're on a lot of pain medication, you can't focus the mind because the mind is blurry. The mind is sedated. The mind has been put asleep by the medication. So you can't focus the mind to the higher levels that the mind has to be focused in order to transcend to this point of super consciousness, so that when the last breath stops, you are conscious. You are beyond the normal level of consciousness. In this normal level of consciousness that we all dwell in from day to day, this is the level of consciousness that we exist in our daily activities. We drive our cars, we take care of our, if we're working a job or whatever, we're focused on that. That is a normal level of consciousness. But super consciousness is a consciousness that you must detach or eliminate all of those distractions. You must eliminate the distraction of even your thoughts, the distraction of even your emotions, because our emotions can cause us to be in dis-ease. Our physical body can cause us to be in dis-ease. And when we are in dis-ease, we cannot focus to develop ourselves into the higher level of ascension, whereby we can transcend ourselves to this point of superconsciousness. So in the work that we do in being temple builders, we have to go through the pillars, and these are the pillars that we must become. So in tune with our breath, we must become breath masters. We must become so in tune with our breath, so therefore our breath must become more vital. But as we get older, most of us, our breath becomes weaker. Our breath becomes shorter. And so when we start having high blood pressure, that means our breath has become weaker. When we start having problems with digestive problems and weight gain, all that means our breath has become weaker. When we start having the problems with our physical, our breath has become weaker, because we not can condense that breath or access the power of that breath, in which the ancients call the prana. They call it the energy that's in the breath, that energy that's coming from the sun, that energy that the center of our body, the solar plexus, is supposed to generate and send that energy through our body so that our bodies can stay vital. But as we gain the time of life, our breath is supposed to become more vital than when we were 20 years old. When we're in our 40s and 50s, the breath's supposed to be twice as strong. When we move into the 60s and 70s, the breath's supposed to be five times stronger than it was when we were 20. But if we have not learned this, if no one has not taught us this, then our breath becomes weak, our organs become weak, our physical become weak, our focus and our meditation become weak. And so we cannot break through the stratosphere of the ascension, of the superconsciousness. In our work that we do as temple builders, we have to look to the understanding of the Makapa. This understanding is a work in which we see our divine connection to the sun, and that in this divine connection, we become sun dwellers. We become sun generators, that the sun becomes the energy in which we dwell, in which we access, so the pineal gland can access this energy both in day and in night. So that in the daytime, if we were to meditate in the sun with the eyes closed, we could stimulate the serotonin and we could access the vitamin D. At nighttime, in the darkness, we were supposed to access this pineal gland and stimulate the melatonin so that it could put us to sleep like babies at night. So then when we woke up, we would be refreshed, that our parasympathetic nervous system would be restored, and so that our healing would take place during the night, and so that our mind would move from one frequency of the beta or the beta state of consciousness to the alpha, to the delta and the theta state, in which we would move into these higher realms of the energy that we're supposed to be generating. And so in the Makapa, the work that we all have is we must focus on that ascension, because in that ascension is where all of us move from this point into the fourth dimension. Now, in the fourth dimension, as we understand the Makapa, it is a place. It is a dimension of being in. It's a dimension of ascending to, that all of us must, in our understanding of our biogeometry of the electrical system that we have, and the interworkings of that electrical system as it relates to the pineal gland working within our chakras. Now, all of us, these chakras that we have, these chakras are energy generators. And these generators are supposed to generate our energy so that they can stimulate our glands. Our glands can stimulate our organs. Our organs can stimulate our systems, and our bodies can become more vital. Now, as we cultivate this particular energy in the chakras, emotions have a great effect on that. That's why we cannot be into worry. We cannot be into fear. We cannot be into sorrow. We cannot be into these elements of emotions that work as circuit breakers. They work like blowing out circuits in our bodies. They work like if in your house you put too many cords in an outlet and you blow out the electricity, and now the house doesn't have the electricity, and whatever needs the electricity couldn't work. So these chakras, when one meditates, it helps one to reset these chakras. It helps one to bring the energy back to these chakras so that the chakras can generate the energy to the glands, so the glands can generate the energy to the organs, and the organs can generate the energy to the system so that all our systems can stay in divine order. But when these chakras blow, we don't really realize how the chakras are affected to the glands and how that's affected to the organs and how that's affected to the system. When we start having high blood pressure, did we blow a chakra? When we start having diabetes, did we blow a chakra? When we start having kidney problems, did we blow a chakra? So when we start relating health to the chakras, or we start relating even my mind, am I depressed? If I'm depressed, did I blow a chakra? Did I blow a chakra of my pineal gland? Did I blow a chakra of my pituitary gland? Did I blow a chakra of my thyroid gland? So when we look at everything we do and everything we say, that's why we must vibrate at a higher level of the higher chakras dealing with truth, love, and justice. That's why we must vibrate in the agape. In the agape is where love has to be beyond the physical plane. It has to be unconditional. We have to love humanity. We have to love everything, all of nature. We have to love everything, and then we have to become its caretakers. We have to be my brother's keeper, my sister's keeper. We have to be each other's keeper. So in the sense of unity and in the sense of humanity, we all are family, looking out for each other, making sure that this planet is kept in a high frequency so that it is not toxic, and that us to each other do not become toxic, so that we don't make each other sick, so that the planet don't make us sick, so that we don't make the planet sick. So we have to be caretakers of the planet, caretakers of our temple. We have to be custodians of our temple, custodians of this planet, and then we have to be brothers and sisters to each other. So the Merkaba is a high level of development. It's a high level of devotion. It's a high level of a journey. All of us are on this journey together, even though individually we have our own work to do. All of us have our flaws, and all of us have our faults, and all of us have our imperfections. And even though as we move through time, we will never be perfect, but we all can move to super consciousness. We all can get healthier. And that's why even in the work that we do, we must take care of this temple. That's why we can't violate it. That's why we must eat in the highest level. That's why we must move closer to nature as we gain the time of life to be able to pull the essence of nature. That's why we must eat organically. That's why we must breathe the purest of the air. That's why we must drink the most charged water. That's why we must cultivate this breath and the energy in it. And that's why we must then work on making this temple the temple that moves like graciously. That's why we must practice these internal exercises that allows our bodies to work better and better as time go on, so that our bodies can stay youthful, our bodies can stay vital, so that our mind can stay focused, and so that in that focus, our concentration can become pure like a laser. And in that concentration, we can pierce this third eye. And when we pierce this third eye, it opens powers up to us. And these powers become powers in our healing. It becomes powers in our understanding of how to connect our energy and how to connect the energy of others. And so in this work that we all have to do, this work is a project. It is a self-project that all of us were born with. We're born with this project of the development. And this development has to be on the physical plane, has to be on the mental plane, has to be on the spiritual plane, and then it has to be on the universal plane. And in this universal plane, this is where our association, our connection to each other becomes vital, because we're all just one cosmic mind vibrating at different frequencies, but we're all one cosmic mind, just a minute nano degree of the cosmic mind that gives all of us intelligence, that allow all of us to take in this breath, that allow all of us to be those who work on this planet, who as co-creators, we take the materials from the planet and we create all kind of things to make our life more convenient, but in the bigger scheme of things, we are a nano of the cosmic mind waiting to return, and at the same time elevating and expanding our consciousness so that we can understand the true nature of our being. And this nature of our being, it is not the 40 years that we might work a job. That is the least of the importance that we have. No matter how important the job, it could be the president of the United States. It could be chairman of the most successful company in the world. It could be a $200 trillion company, and you could be the CEO. None of that matters when it comes to one's cosmic work that one has in front of us or in front of the individual. It doesn't matter what we did in life. It only matters, are we on this journey? And that on this journey, heading toward that last breath of life, have we opened the pineal gland? Have we developed the Merkaba? Have we developed into the Merkaba? Are we in the higher realms? So that as we get older, these higher realms is where our development is supposed to be showing up, that we're supposed to be actualizing these higher realms, so that as we ascend, the closer we get to that last breath, there can be joy in our heart that we will make it this time, that we will break through that barrier, and that in the stratosphere of the superconscious, without the physical temple, that we will reside in the cosmic sense of the spirit, being immortal, never needing a physical again, but at the same time being into that great scheme of the connection with the cosmic mind. So all of us have this work to understand the biogeometry, that this body is an energy system. It's only an energy body. It's an energy system. As spirit, we're energy. And the more we understand that energy, the more we work within the alchemy that what we put in the body, what we put in the mind, and then what we transform allows us into the magic of life. It allows us into the magic of this journey. It allows us into the success and the enjoyment of this journey. So that as we get older, it only gets better. As we get older, our higher consciousness expands and our experience in the greater dimensions become a reality. And so this work, all of us have in front of us, but this work is a work that we all must be on the path with. We all must be on this path. And so the opportunity that we had, Khalif, when we came down there to the Stargate, at your divine sacred place, that was an introduction of this work that we have in front of us. And those individuals that came there had a glimpse of the journey that we all supposed to be on and that we all supposed to be developing into, and that the agape love is supposed to be the crest. It's supposed to be the star crest that all of us emanate from, and that energy moves us into the unity, and it moves us into the opportunity to be bathed in that. And then as we bathe in that, our vibration moves to a higher frequency so that in the areas that we dwell in, that we can bring those areas into a greater level of divine harmony. And so this call this evening is such a delight, Khalif, to be on, as well as to be on it with you, because the work that we have in front of us for the people that have to step into this journey is an exciting work. And this work is something that in the last 45 years of this journey that I've been on, that this work has been the highlight of my life, and that this work has been more exciting than working any job, than being of any other activity other than the divine sacred work and the divine work of developing into the ascension. So this is the work that all of us must partake in, because if not, then when we start getting these problems with the heart, when we start having problems and pain with our physical, only by stepping back into this great discipline that all of us must step into, it is the only out, is the only way that we can prevent or supersede the drama that's going to come to our physicals and cause us the hardship of suffering, as well as the ability to not focus, the ability to not go deeper into the journey, the ability to not be able to have to hold the concentration for the pineal gland to open for us to go into the superconsciousness. We won't be able to focus because we'll have suffering in the body. Or if we're taking drugs, we won't be able to focus because the mind will be sedated. The mind will be asleep. It won't be able to move into the greater areas. Or we won't be able to move into the macabre, because the body will not carry us there. It would be like a spaceship that before it gets to outer space, the spaceship doesn't have enough power. The power boosters that's on there don't turn on, and the spaceship head toward outer space but doesn't break through the stratosphere and come back crashing back to Earth. So that's the exciting work that we have in front of us, and that's why the work that we have in front of us is so important. It is the most important work. It is more important than anything else in our life. Any questions?
That was just excellent, Doctor. Wow. What can I say? Temple building is so exciting in this process that we're involved in. I spoke with a friend of mine today, and we discussed, we had a discussion about the partnership that exists and the union, if you will, the marriage that exists between spirit, soul, and body. Man is a tripart being, has these three components to his being that are intimately and intricately tied together in a marriage and in a partnership. And the goal and the Christ consciousness, as we talk about ascension consciousness and moving forward, moving upward or ascending, these are actually what really excites me is that these are biblical terms that we can find in the Bible. And I know there are a lot of people who, because of religion, don't like to have discussions about the Bible. But I've found a way, and all of these propositions and discussions and theses that we discuss, even temple building, I found a way to find all of these things right inside of the Bible as a textbook. It's almost as if my eyes have been retuned or readjusted to see the things that you are discussing and teaching and sharing with us are from a biblical concept and perspective. Of course, the proposition of love is beyond even mentioning the fact that the Bible talks about love in the context of what you said as a highest frequency. It kind of discusses it in a different way, but it does say that it is the greatest commandment, meaning the greatest principle. It is the greatest law. It is the greatest. So love is the greatest. And this is something I wanted to discuss. And I don't want to get into that too deeply, because I do want to acknowledge how great a presentation that was. But also I want to make mention, hopefully, Elijah, is see if we can find Dr. Prince in the audience before we get off the radio. Dr. Prince and Dr. Mills. And, of course, I wanted the elder, the Honorable Dr. Deborah Blair, he should have had open mic. I had intended to get that to him so he would not have to go into the queue. See if you can look on the board to locate those three men. And while we are here, and I think Abednego should be somewhere in the room. He called me a little earlier today, along with Chancellor there in Ohio. So we want to make sure we acknowledge them. I don't want to do a lot of talking. I know I promised last week I'd talk a little bit about the blood moons, and I'm going to talk just a little bit about that and the binary system that we're in with our sun and what's actually happening with us and the energies that are going to make possible what Dr. Asar Hapi has just told us. We're in a binary star system, and we are getting close to that second sun that's coming, and it's going to lift and elevate us. Now, according to the Bible, some of us will ascend, and according to the Bible, some of us will transcend. We will continue in the darkness, unfortunately, but I believe everyone will be okay, but not all will ascend according to the Bible. Some will just transcend and go straight across, continue into the darkness because of states of consciousness and because of an absence of this great principle of love. And they didn't learn the lesson. And it is my belief and it is my hope that all will be okay. But we are in a binary system, and there is a second sun that is coming close. We will pass this. It will ignite. It will lift us past the iron, past the bronze, past the silver age into another golden age, a golden age. And if you notice, the gold is the crown chakra. Now, he spoke of the chakras and the energy centers that power our glands, that power our organs, that power our bodies. And these chakras or these energy centers, if you want to use another word, are color-coded. The red chakra is your root chakra. The orange is your sacral chakra. The yellow is the solar plexus, and the green is the heart energy center, and the blue is the throat, and the of course the violet is the pineal gland chakra, and they are color coded, and these colors the violet pineal gland and the indigo, the eyes, the indigo chakra. So the seven spectrums of color that are in the sun, which is a fact. This is not fiction. This is not fairy tale. These are actually facts of physics. They have vibrational frequencies. Each one of those colors, they have vibrational frequencies. And as he spoke of it, and the beauty of it is, again, it's in the Bible. It's spoken there in codes, but it's there. In the fifth chapter of the book of Revelation, it talks about a book that's in the right hand of him that sits on the throne. And the book is written within, and it's sealed on the backside with seven seals. Well, let me offer for your consideration that that book is your body. That's written within. It's written within. Written with tremendous, tremendous capacity, tremendous volumes. Dr. Blair told us last week that the microcosm reflects the macrocosm, as above, so below, as within, so without. So this book that's in the hand of him in the fifth chapter of Revelation is written within and sealed on the backside with him. Well, when I look to my temple and my body, I look to the magnificent, wondrous works that are written inside of my body in the trillions of neurological circuitries that are inside of my, more infinite than the galaxy, in the neurological capacity to send and to receive information through these frequencies. And as I look to my body, and in my back, I have seven nerve centers or energy centers or chakras, if you will. Red carries a certain frequency, vibration based on the color. This is a fact. Orange, sacral. The yellow, again, which is your in your solar plexus. Then the green is your heart chakra energy center. And your blue is your throat. And then you move from your throat to your eyes, and that's purple or violet, indigo, and to your crown chakra, which is violet, and then your golden chakra, which is above. And this is where we are going in this binary star system. I'll talk a little bit more about that a little bit later, and talk about how to access that. Those various chakras. We did last week, by the way. We talked about darkness and darkness deprivation, that it takes the circadian rhythm, the night-daytime cycle, to keep these energies moving and activated and regulated inside of our temples. And so I'm going to pause here now, and I want my pastor, if you found him. Have you found him?
I have not, sir. No.
Oh, okay. What about Dr. Mills?
I don't think that they've gotten a memo that we've moved to 7 Central.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, what about Abednego and the elder? I want to leave plenty of room for him, Dr. Blair.
And Dr. Blair is not in either. You know, last week he came in at the 8 o'clock time.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Maybe they...
We need to contact those three individuals and let them know that we've moved up an hour, I think.
Okay. Okay. Well, I guess that gives me a little room to talk about the star system Sirius that's moving clockwise. If you take two circles with, and you and you make two circles and you start a clockwise motion and you place two spheres inside of those. Well, those two spheres are in those circles would be our sun and Sirius. Sirius and our sun are in a binary system, and they are moving around, some say, in a 24,000-year cycle, some say in a 25,900, almost 26,000-year cycle. But we, nonetheless, our sun is taking us into a close proximity to the star Sirius. And as we move to the star Sirius, of course now, the star Sirius is aligned to the Great Pyramid of Giza, along with the constellation of Orion on the south side of the pyramid. And on the north side, it's aligned to Pleiades, which is Taurus, and the constellation that we call Draco, or the dragon constellation, which is part of the Big Dipper that goes around a third of our, wraps itself around a third of our galaxy. But now we are moving, our sun is taking us into where these energies, the closer we get to these, to this sun. Now in ancient texts, the 13th sun, the Mayan calendar, and some other, the Aztecs, they talk about the 13th sun or the 13th cycle, and they call it Nemesis or Nibiru. But we're moving closer to this binary star, Sirius. And Sirius, again, is aligned to the Great Pyramid in Giza. Now, why am I mentioning the Great Pyramid in Giza? I'm mentioning the Great Pyramid in Giza for two reasons. First reason I'm mentioning the Great Pyramid in Giza is that it sits at the geometric center of the Earth's landmass, right in the geometric center. Whoever placed it there knew exactly what the geometric center of the Earth is, and it's aligned to these stars. Wow, that's an astronomical phenomenon. That's a geographical phenomenon. And the math and architecture that's placed inside of this is a phenomenon. But now, the second reason I mentioned that, and there are three, I said two, but there are actually three. The second reason I mentioned that is because the Bible mentions the Great Pyramid. In the 19th chapter, the book of Isaiah, and the 19th verse, it says, and there will be an altar to the Most High, or to Yahweh, in the middle of the land of Egypt and at the border thereof. Now, in the middle, meaning in the middle of the quadrant or the delta quadrant there, dividing Egypt into two equal halves, and at the border, there will be a pillar or a monument, which is the Sphinx, at the border. And the word Giza means border. Bordering the Sahara Desert, in the middle of the land of Egypt, the book of the Bible in Isaiah 19 says that there will be an altar to Yahweh or to the Lord in the middle of the land. Nothing else on the planet answers to the description in Isaiah 19 and 19, but the Great Pyramid of Giza. It sits exactly geographically where the Bible locates the altar to the Lord. Now, why is that important? Third reason is because right in the center of your being, your temple, in the geometric center of your brain, sitting inside of something called the fornix, which is a dome. This is a medical term. You can look in Stedman's Medical Dictionary, Gray's Anatomy. You can find this. I'm not making this up. This is actually really the fornix of the brain. There is something called a pineal gland that sits in the geometric center of your temple. Now, whomever it was that placed the Great Pyramid in the geometric center of the earth had knowledge about the geometric center of your temple and this pineal gland. So there are some connections and some correlations between this pineal gland and the Great Pyramid. So if you understand the Great Pyramid and what's happening with it, and how it's aligned to the star system. And, of course, the Sphinx is aligned and fixed on the fixed points of the zodiac. And I think I can give those to you. I may miss one or two, but I have some help here. But it, the Sphinx is aligned to the four fixed points of the zodiac, which is Sagittarius, Scorpio, Taurus, and Aquarius are the four fixed points, or the four points. And each one of the four points, the Sphinx is aligned to that. So this, and the Sphinx, of course, is the head of a woman and the body of a lion, meaning Virgo to Leo in the zodiacs, if you will. And I don't want to frighten any of you people out there in the audience that may be offended because of religious beliefs concerning the zodiacs, because sometimes even that word offends people. But in the book of Job, it talks about the Maserat. And when you look up the word Maserat, Maserat is simply the zodiac. And when you look to the arrangement of the camp of Israel in the wilderness in Numbers chapter 2, you will find that Israel itself in three tribes were each positioned in those fixed points of the zodiac. And it goes even further to say that the camp was to set out a flag, a banner, meaning the ensign is what it says in Numbers chapter 2, of your father's house. And 3 times 4 is 12. And there are 12 zodiacs, and there are 12 flags. And then the Sphinx having the head of a woman and the body of a lion, Virgo, all the way through to Leo, makes 12. And the fixed points. So there is a connection in the Bible. There is a connection in the Bible that points a message in the scripture, that points to a message in the stone, that points to a message in the stars, that points to a message in you. And the whole goal, of course, is the message in you. The message in you. These energies that we talked about. So we are being pulled by our sun in close proximity in a precession of 26,000 years. Some say 24. I like to say 26. But we are being pulled into close proximity to the star system Sirius that is aligned to the Great Pyramid. What is the point? That it is also going to be aligned, because the 20th verse of Isaiah chapter 19 says, it shall be for a sign and a witness. Well, a sign is not the substance. A sign simply points you to the substance. If I were traveling down an interstate and I saw a sign, the sign is not actually, the sign says, for an example, Kansas City is 20 miles ahead. Well, Kansas City is not the sign. The sign simply tells me where Kansas City is. And if I stop at the sign and think that I've made it to Kansas City because I got to the sign, then, well, I've not really gotten the message. The sign simply tells me where Kansas City is. So the Great Pyramid is a sign and a witness. And it is a sign of something, and it witnesses and it attests to what? Something that happens inside of your temple. Now, and that Great Pyramid, as it is aligned to the star system Sirius, those pyramids are also energy centers that are on ley lines of the Earth. That's another discussion. I won't get into that tonight, but they are situated around the planet, and they create an energy grid. But these pyramids that were built by the ancestors were left there, I believe, to help us during this time to break through the false grid of what the Bible calls the beast. The beast, the number of the beast, or the number of the beast, or his name is the number of a man, 666. Now, 666 in the 13th chapter of Revelation has to do with the anatomical, atomic makeup of man's temple, because atoms have six protons, six neutrons, and six electrons. And each atom makes a molecule. Molecule makes cells. So these atoms have frequencies based upon the protons, neutrons, and electrons that make up their composition. And so every person has 666 inside of them. And the nature of the beast is to take this frequency or this vibration and to keep us trapped in the 666 frequency and not be allowed to make the transition or to make the ascension into the higher frequency. And so then the mark of the beast has to do with frequency inside of your temple and being trapped inside of that temple. When these energies that will be present, there's nothing you nor I nor anyone can do about the fact that the sun is taking us into a part of our universe where it will come into close proximity to the star system Sirius, and there will be explosive energies. There will be tremendous powers. Matter of fact, some of you that are listening to me will experience superpowers. And I dare to say, some will become superheroes. Some will begin to develop. You will begin to have special abilities and special talent. And this is what my brother was talking about today. He was talking about getting the power and keeping it activated and keeping it strong. Let me say one other thing about this binary star system and where we are now. And as we move from the age of darkness, because the farther these suns move from each other, the more our consciousness drops. The farther we move those two suns, our sun and Sirius moves from each other because they're tied into this binary system that creates this magnetic energies. And the farther that they move from each other in this precession, in this 26,000 years, the more our consciousness drops. The closer they get, and they are getting close now, and this is why people on the planet are becoming conscious. They are waking up because these two suns or these two star systems, and I you have to forgive me tonight, but Sirius is massive. It's massively larger than our sun. So that means massive energies will be, and there's nothing we can do about it. There's nothing that I would want to do about it. Matter of fact, I'm excited about it. I'm excited about it because of the possibilities of health, the possibilities of freedom, the possibilities of assistance and relief, the possibility of the end of tyranny on this planet, the possibility of freedom. Now, there is no monetary, my brother has spoken to this beautifully, there is no monetary value that we can place on that. Now, in this last minute or so, since I've dealt with it, and I told you I would deal with the blood moons, and I'm perhaps running out of time with that, and I'll deal with it a little bit more. But allow me to say this about, we just went into the vernal equinox, and the spring equinox, of course, you know, will be in the spring. And the sun has done something marvelous. Now, again, that's in the Bible, but it's in code. Now, watch this carefully. Listen to me carefully. When Christ was crucified on the cross, there was a thief on the left and a thief on the right. Well, the thief on the left is the thief of the fall or the vernal equinox, and it steals daylight from the sun, so that the days are getting shorter and the nights are getting longer. I'll say that again. The thief on the left steals sunlight or daylight from the sun so that the days become shorter, thief, and the nights become longer. In the spring, of course, the thief on the right, in the spring equinox, steals night and adds daylight, and the days become longer. That's just why we celebrate Lent. Lent is actually the lengthening of days or the stretch, because now the sun has moved across in its ecliptic across the equator, and the days are longer. But when the sun falls below the equator, now the thief on the left begins to steal. And that's the beautiful. And let me say this to you, because Psalms 19, 1 through 5 says that the heavens declare the glory. The firmament show forth his handiwork. Day unto day uttered speech, night unto night uttered knowledge. And there's no language on earth where their voice is not heard. Wow. So that we have a story that's written above our head. We have a story, I like to say, a story written in glory, Elijah. I like to say that it's right there so that if one never reads a book or a Bible, the story is all above you and the story is all in you. And the marvelous thing that I'm saying about this is that what happens above also happens below in your temple. It happens to you inside. So this is a great, great time to be witnessing, to be a part of an ascension process and to become conscious and to have the mind of Christ or Christ consciousness, that we know that we are moving forward from a prime creator who has our best will at heart and as his ultimate end and our ultimate goal. So that is, those are some of the energies that you will be experiencing. Of course, the blood moon falls. Yesterday was Rosh Hashanah, which was the Feast of Trumpets. Today is the beginning of the what we would call the Hebrew New Year that came behind the blowing of Feast of Trumpets, and the New Year begins, or the harvest time. The next feast will be, and all of these represent energies. And we're going to deal with those from a cosmological standpoint to tell you how these energies affect your temple and some of the things that you need to do. And my brother, my elder brother, has told you tonight that the fundamental thing is the breath that fuels, the breath that is the engine to this temple is so vitally important. Thank you. Aladia, I know you had a piece tonight you wanted to talk about a little bit before we get out the air. I hope I left.
Well, there's only 1 minute left, actually 0 minutes. If everyone would like to join us at 712-775-7085, and the PIN code is 568-788-pound, you're welcome to come over to the next hour where we do Q&A, and maybe we can get into the other discussion.